This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation. Four pillars that keep you clear, calm, and credible when pressure spikes. In short, tense workplace conversations rarely collapse because people are malicious. They collapse because pressure removes structure, and without structure, people revert to their worst instincts. The core framework gives you four pillars to stay grounded when that pressure arrives. Clarity ensures you know your message before you open your mouth. Openness keeps you genuinely receptive instead of just waiting for your turn. Respect delivers hard truths without shredding the relationship. Empathy lowers the other person's defenses so they can actually hear you. Definition: the core framework is a four-pillar system for managing tension in difficult workplace conversations, built on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. Applied in sequence, it replaces reactive instinct with a structured approach that keeps both parties grounded and the conversation productive. I have watched a thoughtful manager walk into a performance conversation with the best of intentions, no script, no structure, nothing but goodwill, and leave 40 minutes later with a defensive employee, a damaged relationship, and a problem that was somehow worse than when they walked in. It was not cruelty that caused it. It was the absence of a framework. When the tension arrived, instinct took over, and instinct under pressure is really your best self. The core framework exists precisely for that moment. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce it as a four-pillar master system for difficult conversations, designed not to make you smoother or more persuasive, but to keep you grounded when everything in you wants to react. Chapter 5 covers it in full. What follows here gives you everything you need to understand it, prepare with it, and use it the next time tension walks into the room. Why instinct alone will betray you in a tense conversation. Here is the truth of it. When tension spikes in a conversation, your brain does not reach for your best communication habits. It reaches for survival. The amygdala, the part of your brain that responds to threat, fires before your rational mind catches up. You go rigid or retreat. You over-explain or go silent. You say something you cannot take back. As I wrote in Say It Right Every Time, relying on instinct is like trying to navigate a storm without a compass. You are tossed about by the winds of emotion, and you are likely to end up shipwrecked. A framework is that compass. It is a simple, memorable, repeatable system you can reach for when your instincts fail. The core framework does not make difficult conversations easy. Nothing does that. What it does is give tension somewhere to go, so it does not swallow the conversation whole. The core framework. Four pillars for staying grounded under pressure. The four pillars work in sequence. Clarity comes first because you cannot communicate well what you have not thought through clearly. Openness follows because if you are not genuinely willing to hear the other person, the conversation is a performance, not a dialogue. Respect shapes how you deliver difficult content, keeping the relationship intact while you say what needs saying. Empathy closes the loop, ensuring the other person feels seen rather than cornered. Together, they create the conditions for a productive conversation even when the temperature is high. Pillar 1. Clarity. Clarity is the work you do before you speak. Most people skip it. They walk into tense conversations with a vague sense of what bothers them and hope the words will come together in the room. They really do. Instead, the pressure of the moment distorts the message, and what comes out is either too blunt, too muddled, or aimed at the wrong target entirely. In Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, I outline the clarity checklist, 5 items to work through before any difficult conversation. Your core message in one sentence. Your desired outcome, specific and realistic. Your supporting points, no more than 3. Your personal reason for raising it. And your listening readiness, a genuine commitment to hear the response, not just deliver your position. How it works in practice. Number 1. Write your core message in a single sentence before the conversation begins. Number 2. Define the outcome you want. Not a vague "I want things to improve," but a specific, actionable agreement. Number 3. Identify the 2 or 3 facts that support your position. Number 4. Ask yourself honestly, am I prepared to listen to a perspective that challenges mine? Number 5. Enter the conversation only when you can answer yes to that last question. Script example. My core concern is that the project updates are not reaching the team on time. The reason this matters is that we are making decisions without current information. What I would like to see happen is a standing check-in every Thursday morning before the team meeting. When to use it. Every tense conversation, without exception. Clarity is not optional preparation. It is the foundation everything else rests on. When it is not enough alone. Clarity without openness becomes a monologue. You may be perfectly clear about your position and still leave that other person feeling bulldozed. That is where the second pillar arrives. Eamon's note. I spent years walking into difficult conversations believing that if I just knew my point clearly enough, the conversation would land well. It never did. The other person always brought something I had not anticipated, and without openness, I had no way to receive it. Taylor 2. Openness. Openness is your genuine willingness to be changed by what you hear, not your willingness to pretend to listen while you rehearse your counterargument. Real openness, the kind that allows the conversation to go somewhere you did not plan for. This is harder than it sounds during a tense exchange. When you are under pressure, the instinct is to defend your position, not examine it. Openness interrupts that instinct. It asks you to treat the other person's perspective as data worth considering, not a threat to repel. How it works in practice. Number 1. Before they speak, remind yourself their view is as real to them as yours is to you. Number 2. Listen without interrupting, not as a social courtesy, but as a genuine act of curiosity. Number 3. Summarize what you heard before you respond. So what you're saying is this is not agreement. It is confirmation that you received the message accurately. Number 4. Ask a clarifying question before you rebut. What am I missing here? What am I not seeing? Number 5. Adjust your position if the evidence genuinely warrants it. Script example. Okay, I hear you. So what you're saying is that the delays are coming from the approval process, not from the planning stage. Do I have that right? Help me understand where that breakdown is happening. When to use it. Any conversation where you've come in with a fixed position and the other person's response challenges it. This is especially important if you're the senior person in the room, because power can silence honesty if you're not careful. When it fails, openness is not the same as capitulation. If someone is being factually incorrect or deliberately misleading, genuine openness does not mean accepting their version of events. It means hearing them fully before you correct the record. Eamon's note. The conversations where I learned the most were the ones where I was most wrong. But I could only learn because I stayed open long enough to hear what the other person was actually saying. Pillar 3. Respect. Respect, as I use it in the core framework, is not about being polite. Polite people say difficult things in ways that soften them into meaninglessness. Respect is about delivering the hard truth with care for the person who has to receive it. It is what I call respectful directness, clear enough to land, careful enough not to wound. This pillar matters most during tension, because that is precisely when respect is hardest to maintain. When you feel attacked, dismissed, or misunderstood, the temptation to respond in kind is powerful. Giving in to the temptation almost always escalates rather than resolves. How it works in practice. Number 1. Focus on behavior, not character. This report was submitted 3 days late lands differently than you're disorganized. Number 2. Use I statements rather than you statements. I found it difficult to plan around the delay rather than you made it impossible to plan. Number 3. Separate the person from the problem. You are in conflict with a situation, not an opponent. Number 4. Keep your tone steady. Lowering your voice is more effective than raising it. Number 5. Never use personal information as ammunition, even if it is relevant. Script example. I want to be direct about what is on my mind. The issue as I see it is that the last 3 reports came in after the agreed deadline. This matters to me because the team is making decisions on outdated information. What I would like to see happen is an agreement on a realistic deadline we can both commit to. When to use it. Every difficult conversation, but especially those involving performance, behavior, or accountability. When it is not enough. Respect without empathy can still feel cold. You can be completely respectful and still make the other person feel unseen. That is where the final pillar does its work. Eamon's note. I have seen managers deliver feedback so carefully phrased that it said nothing. And I have seen others say what needed saying and somehow leave the other person feeling respected. The difference was not the words. It was the underlying care the words carried. Pillar 4. Empathy. Empathy is the pillar that changes the emotional temperature of a tense conversation. It does not mean agreeing with the other person or taking responsibility for their feelings. It means naming what they appear to be experiencing and acknowledging it before you push forward with your own agenda. There is a neuroscience reason this works. Naming an emotion, even briefly, reduces its intensity. It tells the other person's brain that they are not under threat, which creates the psychological safety they need to actually hear what you're saying. I call this the empathy bridge. You acknowledge before you advance. How it works in practice. Number 1. Watch for signs of emotional escalation, raised voice, clipped responses, withdrawal, defensive body language. Number 2. Name what you observe, without diagnosis. I can see this as a sensitive topic is safer than you're clearly angry. Number 3. State your intention clearly. My intention is not to upset you. My intention is to find a way through this together. Number 4. Acknowledge your own emotional state, if it is relevant. I will be honest, this has been difficult for me too. This is not weakness, it builds trust. Number 5. If the conversation becomes unproductive, use the 3-second pause, stop, breathe. Give yourself 3 seconds before your next word. Script example. This is clearly a sensitive topic. I can see you are frustrated, and I understand why. My intention is not to put you on the spot. Let us take a breath. I want us to find something that works for both of us. When to use it. The moment you sense defensiveness or emotional escalation, do not wait until the conversation has fully derailed. When to be careful. If empathy sounds scripted or mechanical, it can feel patronizing. It only works when it is genuine. If you cannot genuinely acknowledge the other person's position, focus on respect until you can. Eamon's note. Emotions are not the enemy of a good conversation. They are a vital part of it. Ignoring them does not make them go away. In my experience, ignoring emotions is one of the fastest ways to make a difficult conversation impossible. Choosing the right moment for each pillar. The core framework is designed to be applied in sequence, but tension is not always sequential. Sometimes empathy is needed before you have even stated your clarity. Sometimes respect has to be re-established mid-conversation because something went sideways. Here is a quick reference for navigating those moments. If the conversation is lead within reach for just beginning clarity openness. Already emotional empathy respect. Stuck in circular argument openness clarity. Escalating toward breakdown 3-second pause empathy. Returning after a previous conflict respect empathy. Involving performance or accountability clarity respect. The framework is a sequence, not a straitjacket. You may need to revisit a pillar more than once in a single conversation. What matters is that you have the structure to return to when the moment pulls you towards reaction. For situations where two colleagues have reached a genuine impasse, the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate works alongside the core framework to structure the resolution process once you have established the conditions for dialogue. Where people go wrong when using a framework under pressure. 3 patterns consistently undermine good frameworks in practice. Knowing them ahead of time is half the battle. The mistake, skipping clarity because the conversation feels urgent. Why it happens, urgency creates the illusion that thinking is the same as wasting time. What to do instead? Take 5 minutes before any high-stakes conversation to write your core message in one sentence. 5 minutes spent in preparation prevents 40 minutes of confusion. The mistake, treating openness as a performance rather than a practice. Why it happens, under pressure, listening feels passive. You want to do something. What to do instead? Ask one genuine question before you respond to anything. Help me understand your thinking on that. It shifts your posture from adversarial to curious, and that shift changes the conversation. The mistake, applying empathy only after the conversation has already broken down. Why it happens? Empathy feels like a concession, and people resist making concessions when they feel under attack. What to do instead? Use the empathy bridge early, before tension fully arrives. Acknowledging the other person's position at the start of a difficult conversation prevents the escalation you would otherwise have to manage later. You can read more about this technique in How to Use the Empathy Bridge before delivering critical feedback. If the conversation triggers a defensive reaction in you rather than in them, the skills outlined in How to Use the Core Framework to Stay Calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction apply the same pillars from the receiving end. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency. Moving from framework to instinct. A framework is only useful if it becomes second nature. Right now, reading this, it is a set of ideas. The goal is for it to become a reflex, something you reach for automatically when tension arrives. That shift does not happen from reading alone. Start with one pillar per week. In the first week, focus exclusively on clarity. Before every difficult conversation, write your core message in one sentence. Notice how that single act changes what comes out of your mouth. In the second week, add openness. Practice summarizing what the other person said before you respond, even in low-stakes conversations. Especially in low-stakes conversations, because that is where you build the muscle. By the time you reach empathy, you should be able to use all four in sequence without consciously thinking about which pillar you are on. That is fluency. It takes roughly 4 to 6 weeks of consistent practice on real conversations, not hypothetical ones. For the highest stakes conversations, the master method for preparing for high stakes tension conversations adds a preparation layer that works directly on top of the core framework. And if you want to reduce tension before a group conversation even begins, how to use the conversation pre-mortem to reduce tension before a high-stakes team discussion is worth working through first. When a tense situation has already damaged the working relationship, the bridge method for rebuilding relationships after tension has created a genuine breakdown picks up where the core framework leaves off. And for feedback disagreements that are driving the tension, both the deal method to resolve disagreements about feedback at work and the deal method to diffuse tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate offer structured pathways for the conversation that follows. What do you carry forward? A tense conversation does not have to be a gamble. With a core framework, you walk in with a structure that holds even when emotions run high. Clarity so you know what you are saying. Openness so you can genuinely hear the response. Respect so the relationship survives the truth. Empathy so the other person feels safe enough to engage. This much I know for certain: the conversations that shaped my working life were not the easy ones. They were the hard ones I was prepared for. The core framework is how I prepared, and it is how I still prepare now, 60 years in. Apply it consistently, and the core framework becomes something better than a tool. It becomes the way you think. Frequently asked questions. What is the core framework for workplace conversations? The core framework is a four-pillar system for managing tension in difficult workplace conversations. It stands for clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. Applied in sequence, it helps you stay grounded, keep the other person listening, and move toward a real resolution rather than a standoff. When should you use the core framework during tension at work? Use the core framework whenever a workplace conversation carries genuine emotional weight, a performance issue, a conflict between colleagues, critical feedback that risks triggering defensiveness, or any discussion where the relationship matters and the stakes are high enough to cause lasting damage if handled badly. How does the core framework help you stay calm under pressure? It replaces unreliable instinct with a repeatable sequence. When tension spikes, most people default to defensiveness or silence. The core framework gives your mind a structure to follow instead, which keeps you focused on the outcome rather than the emotion driving the moment. What does each letter in core stand for? C stands for clarity, the work you do before speaking. O stands for openness, your genuine willingness to hear the other person. R stands for respect, delivering hard truths with care for the person receiving them. E stands for empathy, acknowledging feelings to lower defenses and restore connection. How is the core framework different from just being a good listener? Good listening is one element inside the framework. The core framework covers the full arc of a tense conversation: preparation before you speak, openness while you listen, respect in how you deliver hard truths, and empathy to keep the other person psychologically safe throughout. Can the core framework be used when someone else starts the tension? Yes. You do not need to initiate the conversation to use it. Even when tension is triggered by someone else, you can apply clarity to your own response, openness to their position, respect in your tone, and empathy to acknowledge what they are feeling before you push back. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.